You're listening to Classic Dialogues, Land Power in the Indo-Pacific, a China Land Power Studies Center production. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the authors and are not necessarily those of the Department of the Army, the U.S. Army War College, or any other agency of the U.S. government. Joining me today are Colonel Rich Butler and Daniel Rice. Butler is the director of the China Land Power Studies Center in the Strategic Studies Institute at the U.S. Army War College. Rice is the China Political and Military Strategy subject matter expert at the Marine Corps University. He's a graduate of the Hopkins Nanjing Center for Chinese and American Studies, as well as the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. I'm delighted to talk with you today.
Thanks, Stephanie. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on today.
Please tell us a little bit about your organization. What's your mission, and how do you contribute to the U.S. Department of Defense's China Community of Interest?
I fall within the KRULAC Center for Innovation and Future Warfare. It's essentially like a think tank that augments Marine Corps University in all sorts of different subject matter support. So in my role as the China subject matter expert, what I do is I go off to the different schools within Marine Corps University and provide guidance in things like war games, so playing some sort of national command authority for a China team, as well as do guest lectures and teach an elective each year. I am a one-man show at the moment, though we are exploring options right now to expand that China research capacity. But first and foremost, I help educate our students at Marine Corps University and Marines, wherever they might be, learn more about China.
Tell us more about your researchers. You gave us a hint just a second ago. Who are they and what are their areas of expertise and research portfolios?
Like I said, it's a little bit of a one-man show. So it's really just me providing research. At Marine Corps University, our primary focus is the education component. Research is a subcomponent, one of the responsibilities that I do have. That being said, there are a number of publications that I will put out over the course of a year throughout our own publications, as well as reaching out to some of our components or our brothers and sisters in the different services. So like CASI, China Aerospace Studies Institute, publish through them or do things like podcasts, speak together with different members of the community to bring that overall awareness within the DoD of China.
You also work not just inside the KRULAC Center, but the larger Marine Corps University with all the experts on China. Can you talk a little bit about how you draw that team of teams together and some of the projects and war games and teaching experience that you provide?
Primarily, MCWAR, the Marine Corps War College, as well as the Command and Staff College. We have specific Indo-PACOM SMEs, and so there's buckets of different curriculum that are taught that focus on the Indo-Pacific, or China. And so what I do is I go out and I advertise myself to the schools. It's like, hey, how can I support you in your mission to meet the DoD's PME objectives? And then I will work with them to either jointly develop curriculum and then teach that, or to augment the different CGs that we have by providing subject matter expertise on the specific topics. I think what you're alluding to, Rich, is the more exciting one, in my opinion, of wargaming, which is something that Marine Corps University is very passionate about. And we've got an entire department dedicated to developing PME wargaming. What I do there is I work with the wargaming director, retired Colonel Barrick, as he puts together different games across the university and for larger members of our community across the DoD. In those games, a lot of the PME objectives is to kind of understand the geopolitical situations that are occurring, as well as the capabilities and how, for me, Chinese capabilities play in at the operational level into the war games. So what I do is I link up with Tim and I go off and I support a lot of those war games by being that consistent China PME voice to help frame red players and frame the different scenarios as we play it out. Personally, I think that brings a lot of fidelity. I get a lot of great feedback from the students and the participants, and it's really exciting to see a solid red strategy meet up against a solid blue strategy and how that exactly plays out.
For me, the importance there is, as you apply strategic land power, Marines, Army forces, soft forces in the land domain, bringing in all elements of national power and other service capabilities to be truly joint and even combined in the Indo-Pacific. We're learning a lot of really new things, and it's almost reframing cognitively what our students must learn about large-scale combat operations against a regional hegemon or peer. And that's something that we haven't had to deal with in the real world for 20 or 30 years since the end of the Soviet Union. It's a whole new dawn and a whole new day for some of the things that we're doing in the PME lane.
part of the goodness, I guess you'd call it, that wargaming brings to that is it actually allows a safe space to play around with what that might look like, play it out on the large scale, sometimes even the global scale, and then to think through those really hard problems, put thinking behind how that might work in the real world.
What are things you've recently published? Any conferences you've done or have coming up?
In terms of publications, I had a bit of a series on Chinese engagement in Africa that involved foreign policy objectives, security engagement, economics, market building on the continent. I recently published the cover article for Air and Space Force magazine, which went into China's military modernization. So talking about the three-izations, as we call it in the PLA watching community. And then I published an article with Taiwan NDU's Naval Command and Staff College, thinking through a future strategy using asymmetric and non-conventional warfare to counter a Chinese invasion. Working on a few other things. One that's in the pipeline right now is a deep dive on a little known component of the PLA Navy. You know, everybody says PLA Navy and they think ships, right? Well, there's this entire component called the Coastal Defense Guided Missile Force, which is land-based fires specifically to use in operations such as a joint blockade or sea line interdiction, things where they want to contest ships that might be maneuvering near China's mainland or around Taiwan. That should be pretty exciting.
Definitely sounds exciting. Do you have any other things in the works that we can look forward to?
There are a couple larger projects looking forward into next year's agenda for research. One of the things that we're trying to tackle at Marine Corps University is figuring out how the Marines play into the fight. And there's some big muscle movements in the Marine Corps. Think Force Design 2030, thinking through EABO, Expeditionary Advanced Basing Operations. My role as the China SME in that is going to be thinking through what is the operational art of the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, when we're talking about things that are closer in, maybe small islands where EABO would be applicable from the blue side, and then figuring out how that could impact the Marines as they're working towards their own objectives. So that's one of them. And then the other one that I think is going to be pretty useful for the community writ large is I'm working on an unclassified open source geolocated database of most of the PLA's infrastructure, whether it be for bases or manufacturing facilities, schoolhouses, et cetera, that's a KMZ file. There's a couple different sources that have put things out there. So I'm really compiling a lot of that information. And ideally what will happen is that will play into more war games first and foremost, but also thinking through big problem sets like how does logistics play in a large scale or a protracted war between, we'll call it great powers in this situation. But using that to help the overall PLA watching community really get more data sets, more access in the unclass world to work with as we try to put things together.
That's a critically important next set of things that you're going to be looking at that you just listed there in terms of understanding how they're going to apply their power over time, where it generates from and why. It's critical because if you look at not just Marine Force design, Army Force design, it's the same thing because both services understand that we need to be inside the first island chain, working with allies and partners with both kinetic and non-kinetic capabilities to be able to deter and then fight if we have to fight. That doesn't mean you don't have to have ground maneuver combat power that's able to maneuver inside of a contested environment to seize, control, and defend key and decisive terrain at various points. That's critical to any deterrence effort against what the Chinese Communist Party desires to turn the rules-based international order against us and for them. I commend the work, and I'm really looking forward to having you come up for our PLA conference here in Carlisle in October when we focus on protracted conflict and protracted war specifically.
I'm very excited to see as Classic is getting through its research agenda, what will be coming out as well, and looking forward to collaboration.
Where can our listeners find out about your organization and its work?
You can always find us on the Marine Corps University website, as well as if you're looking specifically for me, you can reach out on LinkedIn. Just search Daniel Rice. I'll pop up.
Thank you so much for being here today. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you very much for having me on today.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
For more War College podcasts, check out Conversations on Strategy, SSI Live, and A Better Peace.